right, let us open to the book of Habakkuk. Yes, Habakkuk, the biblical pronunciation. Today we're in chapter 2. But today I won't lead you through chapter 2 in entirety. I want to focus on a very important phrase or part of a sentence. Yeah? Can anyone guess that phrase? It's too easy for you. Someone else. Okay, yes? All right, yes. The righteous or the just shall live by faith. I thought that was a very, very important phrase. It's actually very, very pivotal in the Bible. It's one of the most important phrases in the Bible. And I was thinking, you know, it wouldn't be right for us to just gloss over it and slide on to the rest of the verses, because this is a very important phrase as concerns our faith as Christians. Yeah? In fact, back in the day, in about the 16th century, there were a group of Protestants called the Reformists. You know? Have you heard of the Reformists? Martin Luther, Calvin, Henry VIII, all these guys who were fighting against the Pope and his practices in the Catholic Church. They're thinking, no, we are tired of this. And there are some doctrinal issues that they do not agree with. And so they protested. That's where the word Protestant came from. So their motto was, the just shall live by faith. Now you know. Hallelujah. Yes. In summary, the book of Habakkuk, some say, is about mature Christians trusting humbly, but persistently, through God's plan to establish righteousness in or on the earth. I'll say that again. Yeah. Mature Christians trusting humbly. There must be humility there. But with persistence, yeah? Through waiting on God's plan to establish righteousness on this earth. Yeah? We don't stand back and say, where this world has gone, let's just forget it. Let's give up. Let's just wait for heaven. No, we don't say that. We keep praying. We keep persisting. We keep trusting in humility that God can establish righteousness in this earth, so that a lot more people, yeah, can influence a lot more people. So that they can influence a lot more people. So that we won't be very few people in heaven. At least a sizable amount will go. Although, I believe not many people will go to heaven, because the road to heaven is straight, but also very narrow. I imagine in my mind that the road to heaven, yeah, is as narrow as one by one. One person walking behind another person. We shan't walk side by side holding hands and skipping to heaven. No. I believe it's so narrow that you can only put one foot in front of the other. Yeah? That's how I imagine it to be. But thank God, because it is straight. Yeah? We have no excuses. You can't go left or right. You can't say, I got lost on the way, but it is straight. But the road to perdition, the road to hell, is wide. Yeah, people will go in groups. Yes? In droves. Yes? In droves. Kayola. Yeah? But it's crooked. Yes? The road, well, not literally going to hell, but the road that leads to destruction is wide, but crooked. And it seems very, very, how can I say it? What's the word? It's enticing. It's exciting. You see all these guys with the same mind. They are united in love, in oneness. They do not want to hate. They want to love everybody. They do not want to judge. If he wants to love another man, that's okay. If she wants to love another woman, that's okay. If a lady wants to abort, that's her body. Yeah? That road is very wide. Yeah? You want a visa today? You want money? You want to be rich? You want cars? You want houses? Those things in of themselves are not bad. But when they become our purpose in life, then there is a big, big problem. Yeah? There is a big, big problem. So we cannot focus on all those things. I totally don't know what I'm talking about. Where did I come from? Anyway, verse 1 of chapter 2, Habakkuk, will just do verse 1 up to verse 4. Behold, I've just remembered we didn't pray. Behold, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for your word that is before us. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you, O God, for your teaching. We open our hearts to you and our minds and ask for guidance. We ask for wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Behold, what does behold mean? Look, see, pay attention. Yeah? Pay attention to the proud. Who are the proud in this case? The Babylonians, the Chaldeans. They were puffed up with pride. Yeah? They thought they were invincible. They thought they were, probably thought they were immortal. They were probably blessed by their priests. Yeah? By their false gods. Go out. They probably sprinkled them with blood. And they chanted incantations upon them to protect them during victory and battle. And somehow they kept on winning and winning. And I'm sure it got to a point where they thought they were immortal. They thought they were invincible. They thought they would take over the whole earth. And they imagined that everything they did was partly from their own strength and also partly because of their gods that blessed them. So they, the proud, yes, the puffed up Babylonians, they were so proud and also they were filled with evil passion. Imagine an evil person being passionate. Just think about that. Yeah? An evil person being extremely passionate. He's passionate about murder. He's passionate about rape. He's passionate about whatever evil you can think of. He's passionate about witchcraft. He's passionate about just vile things. Yeah? That's how the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that's how they rolled. They were passionate about evil. Yeah? Bible goes on to say, his soul is not upright in him. His soul. What is the Bible talking about? The Bible is talking about a heart. Yes? A heart and mind which is lifted up by self-sufficiency. Isn't that one of our desires in life? Our natural instinct is to be self-sufficient, right? Even when people see you and you look pathetic, you're tired, you just can't help yourself. Sometimes they say, man, do you need help? Because you're puffed up, you know, you're thinking, no, I don't need help. Yes? All your sufficiency is in yourself, in your ability. Yeah? And many times, how many times have we failed because of relying and depending on self-sufficiency? We were not designed to be self-sufficient. We were designed to rely on a God who is all-sufficient. Amen? Our God is our sufficiency, is our everything. And these wicked Chaldeans had all their trust and faith in their sufficiency and in their pride. Yeah? Is not upright in him. His soul is not upright in him. What does that mean? It is very corrupt and wicked. A person who is not upright is corrupt and wicked. A person who is not upright is very presumptuous and arrogant. Yeah? Presumptuous. They presume that they have the power. They presume that everything is on their side, that everything, yeah, will fall in place for them. They presume, yeah, to know more than God. They presume to know more than other people. They are arrogant. And worst of all, they imagine that God will not punish them for their violent and bloody ways. Yeah? That is a person who's not upright. A person who's not upright is spiritually, morally, and ethically ungodly. A person who ignores the path of God's righteousness to follow the ways of selfish desires in everyday decisions of life, spiritually, morally, and ethically. Imagine all the most important spheres of life, yeah, that govern our behavior, that govern the way we look at things spiritually. Yeah, you're guided by a higher being, a divine being. You're governed not just by a being, but by God. Yeah. But when you are spiritually bankrupt, you are not upright morally. You can do anything. Yeah. There are no morals in you. You condone thievery. You condone corruption. You condone abortion. You just don't care. Whatever goes, goes. Right? Ethically, no ethics. You treat people badly. You look upon the poor with disdain. You don't care about people. All you want is to follow your selfish desires in everyday decisions of life. That is who the writer is talking about. Then we come to the clincher. But the just shall live by his faith. Now when you read this verse, it's just almost sounds straightforward. It's just a simple phrase when you look at it. But the just shall live by faith, by his faith. But what does it really mean? I did my research, and I researched, and researched, and I dozed, and I researched, and I was thinking, wow, yeah, there's too much information about this phrase here, but the just shall live by his faith. It is so important that this verse appears in the New Testament 3 times. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Paul quoted it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The writer of Hebrews quoted it. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. This is the key verse in the book of Habakkuk. It basically summarizes the difference between the proud Babylonians and their destruction with the humble faith of the Israelites and their deliverance. Now we are talking about the Israelites, the Jews, who were basically saying, you know what? We are not going to take a part in whatever these guys are doing. For us, we are going to remain humble. We are going to remain righteous. Not all of them were like that. There were so many of them that were proud. Yeah? The book, this key verse is basically an issue of trust in God. But the just, who are the just? Who are the just? Are you just? Am I just? How am I just? The just are the humble. Without humility, we are totally wasting our time as far as our faith, as far as our religion is concerned. Without humility, yeah, we are wasting our time. You ask yourself, how do I know that I'm humble? The moment you don't look at yourself as humble, you don't consider yourself first, then maybe you are humble. If you keep saying, I am a humble person, then you're most likely not humble. Yeah? Because you won't go and start exalting yourself in front of everybody. Let people come and tell you that you are humble. Don't go out and tell people, I am a humble person. For me, I don't know why he hates me. Huh? Me, I just come, I be minding my own things. I am humble. In our family, we are all humble. But he just hates me. No, you are not humble. Yeah? It's not a badge that we carry on our chests. Yeah, showing everybody that we are humble. No. It's a state of accepting that others are better than you. It's a state of accepting that God is your sufficiency, that his grace is what is carrying you and sustaining you. Hallelujah. Yes, humility is considering others first and considering you lower than the lowest. Yeah? Who are the just? The just are the upright. I already gave you examples of people who are not upright, the corrupt, the wicked. So the opposite of all those examples I gave you is a person who is upright, a person who will stand for truth, a person who will stand for Christ, a person who will stand for righteousness. Yeah? The blameless. that blameless. We're now all, we have so many things to account for. We're now all, we are full of blame. But with Christ as our propitiation, we become blameless. Hallelujah! Go and look up the word propitiation. I don't want to explain. You'll see it's actually a very simple meaning. It's just a long word with a simple meaning. Yeah? Above reproach. I keep telling my choir members, are you above reproach? I keep asking them, not telling them. Asking them, are you above reproach? Brethren, I want to ask this question today. Are we above reproach? Can anyone come to you and not point a finger at you in any way? Or do people come to you and say, that guy, yeah, he looks saved. Yeah, he comes to church. But that guy there, certain things about him, we see him hanging out in weird places. We see him hanging out with weird people. His speech is weird. His speech does not reflect Christ. The music he listens to, oh my Lord. Yes? The movies he watches. The way the girl dresses. Surely she does not represent Christ. Yeah? That girl is proud. That girl is arrogant. Are we above reproach, brethren? Can we walk with our heads held up high, knowing that nobody can come and point accusing fingers at us and say, that guy, I lent him my money. He stopped answering my phone calls. Are you above reproach? Yeah? I lent him my pair of shoes. He has even written his name on them so they are not stolen. Are you above reproach? How are you representing Christ? How am I representing Christ? The honest. Are we honest stewards? Is there honesty in our lives, in our speech? Or are we fond of telling so-called white lies? Thank God they're not called black lies. White lies. I don't know who coined that statement. Yeah? Probably Americans, probably British. I don't know. Yes. Honesty. Do you buy something and take back the change? Huh? Or do you inflate the price so you can keep the change? Do you ask them to give you a blank receipt? Mboya. Survival. Kampala is hot. This is survival. No. Give me a blank receipt. I'll sort these things out. Don't worry. Is there honesty in your life? Is there honesty in my life? Is there righteousness? Yeah? In our lives. If you are humble, if you are upright, if you are blameless, if you are above reproach, if you are honest and comparatively righteous, without self-righteousness, then you are just. A just person is the one who loves being dependent on God's divine guidance and provision. Do you wake up every day and say, God, guide me. I am going to the bathroom today, but place is a bit slippery. The structure is about to fall. Guide me. Is he guiding every step you're taking? You're going to work. You're going to school. You're going for a mission. Is he guiding you, or you just wake up, jump out of your bed and march? God wants to be our guide. He wants to direct our every footstep. He has taken that upon himself. That is his job and his job alone. And he will not allow anyone else to guide us. If we use our own wisdom, then we are bound to stumble and fall all the time, because the road is very slippery. The road is very bumpy. Yeah? The one who loves being dependent on God's divine guidance and provision. Who is providing for you? It's either God or Satan. Either God or who? There are no gray areas. Trust me. The world may want you to think that there is lady luck working here. There is chance. You know, by good luck I went to town and I landed on someone. He gave me money. Really? Is that how you're choosing to operate? Then maybe every day you'll be crying out to good luck to provide for you. But that's a mockery to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Spitting in our Lord's face and saying, whatever, He wants to be your provider at all times, in all things, in all ways. But many times, we choose not to trust that He can provide. Unfortunately for us, we fall into the trap of cutting shortcuts. Does that sound right? Cutting shortcuts? Making shortcuts? Taking shortcuts. Thank you. Yes, taking shortcuts. Panyas. Yeah? We take panyas. Panya roads. Panyas. Panya is a rat in Swahili, not so. Yeah? They coined that phrase from the fact that rats have these small paths that they take. A rat will, you know, it won't go a straight way. It will just cut across wherever it passes. That's what a panya road is. Are you taking panya roads? Are you taking rat roads to success or to fulfill your desire or to take care of yourself? Or are you waiting on God? You know, waiting on God is not easy. He didn't say it would be easy, right? It's hard because you're thinking, what is going on? You are bound and governed by time. Yes? Your biological clock is ticking. You can hear every second ticking and you're thinking, no, I will cohabit. God will forgive me. I need a baby. I'm now 28, Mazima. Huh? No. Huh? My eggs are going to dry up, kabisa. Huh? Really? And you get the baby. You're a single mother. You're asking everybody for help. You're running all over the place with your baby. Baby is sickly. You even have twins. You're thinking, Lord, have mercy. You're trying to juggle them. You're looking for work. You have to go back to school. Why? Panya road. God's timing to provide me with a baby was just taking too long. I had to do something about it. You're one of those who follows the motto, God helps those who help themselves. And some people even profess this in the Bible. Our lousy teachers in primary school say, but the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. No, that is not true. If you can help yourself, then why do you need God? You don't need God, right? Right? Yes. But you need to let Him be your guide and your provider. It will take a little longer than you imagined, but do not fret, do not fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Who is the just one? The one who embraces the truth of God's divine promises and believes in Him. Are we embracing God's truth? Are we embracing the truth of God's divine promises? Do we read the Bible and say, hallelujah, this word is mine. Oh, hallelujah, I claim this. Are you receiving the word? There are so many promises for us in the Bible. But we just gloss over them. We slide over them. We think, those ones were for Abraham or for whoever. No, I believe God has promised us also blessings for being steadfast, for being obedient. Yeah? Some of them may not be here. They may be in heaven. The biggest ones will be in heaven. But there are so many blessings that we can receive here. And those are promises to us. Yeah? When we embrace those promises, then we are just. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. Not only do we embrace those promises, but we must believe in the one who has promised daily, constantly, without swaying left or right. We cannot say, this time I don't know if God is going to come through. Eh? This situation is a bit complicated. Eh? It involves Muslims. This one, I think we leave God out of it. Let's just play with our heads and see. Because if we start telling these Muslims that we're evangelists or whatever, this deal won't go through. Is that how we think? Yes? These poor Catholics, don't tell them you're a local. They will not give you the contract. Right? That's how we think. Really? Our God is big. He's so big. There is even no word to describe how big He is. He is so, I don't even know. Yeah? The universe is expanding every day. They say the universe is infinite or infinite. Yet, the Lord holds the universe in the palm of His hands. Hallelujah. If He's bigger than the universe, sincerely, will your issue be bigger than Him? Is it too big or too small for Him to take care of? No! So we must embrace the truth of God's divine promises and believe in Him that He is able to deliver. Hallelujah! Amen. Who are the justified, or who is the just? The justified according to the terms of the new covenant, not the old covenant. Yes? Are those who have obtained the righteousness of God in Christ by believing. That's it. The just according to the terms of the new covenant are those who have obtained righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ by believing. Are you a true believer? If you are, then you have obtained righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Not only are you obtaining the righteousness of God in Christ by believing, but you also are renewed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Are we renewed? Are we sanctified? Are we set apart? Do we wake up every day and realize that there's a new work happening in us, that God is transforming our thinking? We are changing. We are changelings. We are not stagnated like a swamp or stagnant water. We are constantly being renewed. Are we being sanctified by the Spirit? Are you allowing Him to set you apart? Sometimes when He tries to set you apart, you feel lonely. Thinking, no! He's saying, no, go this way. I'm taking you away from all this because I have a greater purpose for you. Then, no! Go back. Trust. Trust. Yeah? This is not good for you. You're a new person. Yeah? You're a new person in Christ. You can't live like that. There's a greater purpose for you right now. Now that you have accepted Christ into your life. When you are all those things, when you have obtained the righteousness of God in Christ by believing, when you are renewed and sanctified by the Spirit, then you will spiritually be happy. There's a peace, there's a joy in your heart. There's eternal life. And there is no end to that life. Hallelujah. What does Genesis chapter 15 verse 6 say? What does it say about obtaining the righteousness of God in Christ by believing? Please open there. Genesis chapter 15 verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and He, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Who? Abraham. Imagine. And he believed in the Lord. So the Lord had made all these promises to him. He believed in Him. Yes. And He, being the Lord, accounted it to him, to Abraham, for righteousness. Can you imagine? As simple as belief. That is being justified. That is being just. The one who accepts whatever season God leads him through with patience and trust is the just one. What kind of season are we going through right now in our lives? We have so many seasons. There is drought, there is famine, there is winter. For some it's summer, for others it's autumn, others spring. I know many of us will never experience these different seasons, the actual seasons of autumn and spring and whatever. Yeah. Because it's rain and shine, dust and mud. Hallelujah. Yeah. Is your season filled with mud right now? Filthy. There's dirt everywhere. You're thinking, I have nowhere to step. Is it filled with dust? There's so much dust in the air, it has clouded your vision and your judgment. When you accept whatever season God is leading you through with patience and trust, you are just. Hallelujah. Do not fret as you go through these seasons. Just lean on the Lord. Trust in Him. He will definitely come through. Let us read Romans 1, 16 to 18. Chapter 1. Are we there? What does Paul say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Why is Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel? Why is he saying that? If you search through that phrase, you will understand why. If you go back and read it, you'll understand why. You'll understand the reason why he says he's not ashamed of the gospel. In this verse, Paul's main emphasis is on righteousness. Righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. In summary, Paul was saying that faith in God results in what? Righteousness. For both the Jew and the Gentile. When you have faith in God, yeah, then you receive righteousness. All right, next part. Shall live. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 to 39. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 to 39. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews emphasizes the idea that faith is for the whole journey. Yeah. Every time someone talks about faith, what's the first thought in our minds? We are thinking, hey, faith to receive whatever we want. Faith to receive healing. Faith to climb this mountain. Is that really what God is talking about? Our faith is the journey. Our belief in Christ and embracing His righteousness is the journey. That is our faith. We are Christians. When you say you're a Christian, you are walking. You're walking in Christ. You're walking through Him. You're walking on the path that He has set before you. That is our faith. Yeah? It's not just believing that God will provide or whatever. No, it is the whole thing. It's Christianity in a nutshell. Hebrews also emphasizes that faith is not just for certain times in your life when you want God to move, but rather it is a way of life. That's what I've been talking about. It's a lifestyle. Eternal life belongs to those who patiently continue in doing good. You can read that in Romans chapter 2 verse 7. Eternal life belongs to those who patiently continue in doing good. It is by the real and spiritual acceptance of the gospel. We must run the race with patient endurance so we will live. We must run the race with patient endurance so we will live. In Hebrews, again, the emphasis is on a broader reference to eternal life. Yeah? But when we come back to the book of Habakkuk, what was the writer talking about? Living. For them, living was living. Staying alive. Yeah? Not just eternal life and all these things and all those things. For them, it was a matter of life or death. Yeah? He was referring to actually staying alive. These guys, their biggest fear was dying. Yes? That's why God was like, the just, the upright, the humble, the patient, blah, 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 shall live. Yeah? They would survive the onslaught of the coming Chaldeans They would survive the onslaught of the Babylonians. They would live. This was about real life. This was a clear and important revelation to Habakkuk, and it's also an important revelation to us. Because God cares about the here and the now as much as He cares about the eternal. He is not going to leave us to hang out dry in the sun. He is not going to desert us through all our problems. He is not going to see us coming to a point of death and then say, it's okay, after all, there's eternal life. No, He cares. And that is what He was trying to show the Jews in the book of Habakkuk, that He would protect them, that they would actually live. Many times the devil will tell you, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're sick, or you have been bewitched, or you're starving, whatever it is. And God says, no, you are actually going to live. Yeah? You are going to live. You remember when Christ was speaking to Mary? Yes? And He was basically, I'll paraphrase, was talk about how her brother lives. You know, he's alive, he will live again. And what was she thinking? Yeah. Where? In eternity. But Christ was saying, no, he's going to live. Yeah. You're going to see him rise from the dead. So many times God also tells us, you will live and you shall not die. If you are just, yeah, you will live. How are you going to live? We shall see. How are you going to live? You are going to live by faith. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul, by his argument in Galatians, was trying to prove that sinners are not justified by works. We are not justified by works. When he refers to Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, he proves that we are justified by faith when he looks at what the prophet said. What did the prophet say? That the just or the righteous man shall live by faith, not works. But how many times do we want to be justified by works? Yeah? Why? And good things happening to me? Why are only bad things happening to me? I tithe. I'm a good Christian. I love other people. I'm generous. I give. I'm patient. I'm humble. I'm handsome. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not talking about me. I'm just painting a picture for you, right? I see some of you disapproving. Because you're being justified by works. You do all these things and you're thinking God will surely reward me. That is false religion. Works will not carry us anywhere. That's what Paul was trying to prove by making a reference to Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. He proved from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 that we are justified by faith, because Habakkuk says the just shall live by faith. Not only will you live by faith, but from faith will you fetch your life. You will live spiritually by faith. If you don't have faith, how are you going to live spiritually? Sometimes we are in the spirit and it seems like madness. It doesn't make sense. Yeah? There's a pastor friend of ours who said there's a period in his life, where God would just say, get on that bus. Like, what? Get on that bus. Where is it going? I don't care. Get on that bus. I've got some work for you. How many of you would do that? How many would do that? Look at them of little faith. Huh? And he would get on. And God would have him preach. And for a long time he lived like that. Get on a bus, doesn't know where it's going. He gets on and he preaches to someone. Yeah? You live your life spiritually by faith. Because at that point, I believe it's not the flesh working, it's the spirit. You obtain eternal life by faith. The life of righteousness shall also be by faith. Now the Hebrew word emuna or imuna, which means faith, can also mean faithful or steadfast. It can also mean integrity. FYI. Yeah? But what was the Lord saying in Habakkuk when he said the righteous shall live by faith? What was he basically saying? Did he mean that the righteous will live by faith or by trust in God or by being faithful to God or by living with integrity? Maybe. Maybe not. But when we look at Habakkuk, when we look at the whole context, when we look at the situation, what these people were going through, yeah? The Babylonians were coming. Maybe there are some prophets, I don't know if they are false prophets or genuine prophets, they're probably shouting, the end of the world has come. Repent. The end of the world. There is just doom. There is gloom. Yeah? What did they need most? They needed trust. Yes? They needed faith. That faith had to be faith of trust. Yeah? Not integrity. Not just faithfulness. It had to be the faith of trust. Trusting that God was able to deliver them from the Babylonians. The Babylonians did not trust God, but the Israelites did. Both the Babylonians and the Israelites had been unfaithful at one point, but there's a remnant of those who are faithful, and those are the ones that needed to have faith and trust that God was going to physically deliver them. So I believe that's why God through Habakkuk was basically telling them the just shall live by faith. I do not know if he had the time to expound on this point. I do not know if he actually explained to them what exactly it meant. But I imagine that God ultimately was able to speak to them and was able to comfort them through this phrase, the just shall live by faith. In order to receive deliverance from God, the Jews had to be faithful in their righteousness. It's not just enough for you to have faith or to have trust, but you must be faithful in your righteousness if you need deliverance from God. How many of you need deliverance from God today? Don't worry, I'm not going to say, come and line up here. I won't say that. Yeah? Come and line up here if you need deliverance from God. Those with 50,000 stand here, 20,000 stand here, 10,000 will allow you for today only. You stand there. Yeah? Do not bring coins. Yeah? That's not the deliverance I'm talking about. There are so many issues that plague us. There's a sin that we can't get rid of that we need deliverance from. I'm not talking about deliverance where they lay hands on you, you start shouting and wailing like a mad person. They are diving on you, trying to cover you with lassos. God knows what's happening. Yeah? I don't believe that's deliverance. That's just drama, right? But I'm talking about deliverance from sin. Deliverance from heartache. Deliverance from disillusion. Deliverance from self-sufficiency. Deliverance from all these things. From arrogance. From pride. If you want to receive the Lord's deliverance from all these things, you must be faithful in your righteousness. But also, one issue that we have as Christians, we imagine that God owes us so much. Yeah? A lot of preachers are telling us today, God, you sow into this ministry and see if God won't owe you. Right? You sow. I dare you to sow into this ministry. We see if God won't repay you. He owes you now. You sow and you see, He owes you. God owes no one nothing. Yeah? He doesn't owe anyone anything. And you are not good. Just in case you thought you are good. I am not good. God does not owe me anything because I am special, I have worked hard in the ministry, or because I am good. I am not good. We can't take that attitude that God owes us because we have sown, because we have fasted, because we have prayed, because we have tithed. because we have served as ministers. No. When you imagine that God owes you something, you're basically ignoring the sin that is in your heart. The sin of pride, the sin of what is that word? I forget what the word is. Entitlement. Very bad sin. Selfishness. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we are to be saved, it will only be by the grace of God, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when we search for grace, when we admit that we are sinners, then surely shall we see deliverance. But it requires faith to do that. I'll conclude with a commentary by Matthew Henry. It says, when tossed and perplexed with doubt about the methods of providence, we must watch against temptations to be impatient. It's very easy to get tempted to be impatient. Did you know that impatience was also a temptation? There you have it. When tossed and perplexed with doubt about the methods of providence, about the methods of God's provision, protection, guidance, when we doubt God's methods, then there's a great temptation to be impatient. That's when we start taking panya roads. That's when we start cutting shortcuts, simply because we do not want to wait, or simply because we have not established a relationship deep enough for us to trust in God. There is no history between you and God, so you are impatient. When we have poured out complaints and requests before God, we must observe the answers God gives by His Word. Read the Bible. Everything is in there. If you need answers, God will answer you in His Word. Some of you are waiting for Him to speak through a still small voice. Some of you are waiting for Him to explode in the skies and tell you, Jonah or whoever, this is the path you must take. This is what you must do. All He's saying, all the answers you need are in My Word. We must read the Bible. We must make this our guide and manual for everyday living. This is where our answers are. Not only His Word, but also His Spirit. Do we sit back and meditate on His Word? Do we let the Holy Spirit speak to us? What is the Holy Spirit saying today? What are you saying today? I have read Your Word today. Now speak to me. Show me what I must do today. Can I go left? Can I go right? God will not disappoint the believing expectations of those who wait to hear what He will say unto them. Though the promised favor be deferred long. What Matthew Henry says. Yeah? Though God's promises take long. Yeah? God will not disappoint the believing expectations of those who wait to hear what He will say to them. In a nutshell, God will not let us down. Some of these words or phrases, sentences may sound complicated. What He's basically saying is that we wait on Him, we wait to hear from Him, and we are eager to hear what He says. It won't take as long as you think it takes for God to answer. I continue to read. It will come at last and abundantly recompense us for waiting. You will be rewarded for waiting. Can you imagine? Your waiting is not in vain. Your tarrying, or whatever you're waiting for, that is tarrying, is not in vain. You will be rewarded. Just think about all those things that you have waited for. All those things that I believe God has promised you. All the good desires of your heart that the Lord has placed in there. You have waited and waited and waited, brethren. You're tired. You're thinking, when? I am growing old. I'm losing my strength. I can't keep running around like this. I can't continue being employed. How long will I make charcoal? How long will I make bricks? How long shall I run around like a mad person in this city? God, I have been crying out to you. I have waited. When is this ministry taking off? When are we getting rent? When are we finding a site for the church? When am I building my own arcade? Whatever your desire is, it's too small for God. But believe me, when you wait on Him, in righteousness, in trust, you will be compensated for that waiting. I'm not saying He'll give you money. Every time we hear the word compensation, we're thinking, yes! I'm merely saying that God is faithful to the just. Hallelujah. He is faithful, people. But let us wait. Let us not try to move according to the speed of this world. People seem to be prospering. You're walking and then this huge VX Land Cruiser passes you by. You're like, ha. He's probably rushing to an accident ahead there. Yeah? And you're thinking, when? When will I stop padding? Yeah? God is coming. He has seen your patience. He has seen your faithfulness. He has seen how you have struggled to be righteous, to remain in there. He has seen how you have struggled to believe in His promises. He has seen how you have struggled to be just in an unjust world. And a world that looks at justice and frowns upon it and calls it being narrow-minded. Being a prude. Yeah? Being holier than thou. When you try to be just, that's what the world will say about you. You're trying to be holier than thou. God is saying you shall live. You shall not die. Maybe physically, but definitely you shall not die spiritually. Hallelujah. He's asking you to embrace His faith. Embrace the walk. Do not give up the good fight. Do not stop running the race. That's what faith is all about. When you embrace this faith, there has to be trust 100%. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Can we please stand? Only those made just by faith shall live, shall be happy here and forever. Amen? Hallelujah.